Volume 1, Number 3 of the For the Strength of Youth magazine for March 2021. Contents: The Heart of Easter, The Living Jesus Christ, by Elder Garrett W. Gong. Like a Window to Your Soul. The First Hymn Book. Preparing to Always Have His Spirit, by Elder Paul B. Piper. Also inside, Firm Foundations, Last Word, and People from Church History. End of contents. Read by Wes Nelson.
Leah T., age 16, Louisiana, USA. Music is a big part of my life. I love to play the violin and viola. When I was young, my mom was called to teach music in primary. She taught me to love the songs in the children's songbook and feel the spirit whenever I played them. I also dance for the Louisiana Vintage Dancers and paint canvas art for my parents in my home. I have so much gratitude and appreciation for people who spend time painting the art we see at church. I think it's wonderful that painting is just one more way people can share their feelings about the gospel. In the October 2018 General Conference, Elder Garrett W. Gong of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles referenced a painting of a sunset behind a forest. It was absolutely beautiful. The painting reminded me that the sun will always come after the dark night. The gospel is my life. I love connecting my love of art to the gospel. Sometimes it doesn't even have to be a religious painting for me to feel God's love. I've even looked at paintings of birds before and thought, oh, God created that bird for me. Read by Crystal Johnson.
The Heart of Easter, The Living Jesus Christ, by Elder Garrett W. Gong of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. In celebrating Easter, we rejoice that Jesus Christ lives now and for all of us. At this season of Easter, we celebrate the living Jesus Christ. With perfect love, our Savior assures us, "In me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." In celebrating Easter, we rejoice that Jesus Christ lives, not only then, but now. Not just for some, but for all. He came and comes to heal the brokenhearted, deliver the captives, recover sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are bruised. That's each of us. His redeeming promises apply, no matter our past, our present, or concerns for the future. Hosanna and Hallelujah! On Palm Sunday, Jesus entered Jerusalem riding a colt, and many people took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him. Traditionally, palms are a sacred symbol to express joy in our Lord. The faithful recognized this as fulfillment of prophecy and knowingly cried, "Hosanna in the highest!" Hosanna means save now. A week following Palm Sunday is Easter Sunday. President Russell M. Nelson teaches that Jesus Christ came to pay a debt he didn't owe because we owed a debt we couldn't pay. Indeed, through the atonement of Christ, all God's children may be saved by obedience to the laws and ordinances of the gospel. At Easter, we sing Hallelujah. Hallelujah means praise ye the Lord Jehovah. The sacred events between Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday are the story of Hosanna and Hallelujah. Hosanna is our plea for God to save. Hallelujah expresses our praise to the Lord for the hope of salvation and exaltation. In Hosanna and Hallelujah, we recognize the living Jesus Christ as the heart of Easter. Restoration and Resurrection. On Easter Sunday, April 3, 1836, in the early days of the Restoration, the living Jesus Christ appeared after the Kirtland Temple was dedicated. Those who saw him there testified of him in complementary contrasts of fire and water. His eyes were as a flame of fire. The hair of his head was white like the pure snow. His countenance shone above the brightness of the sun. And his voice was as the sound of the rushing of great waters, even the voice of Jehovah. On that occasion, our Savior declared, I am the first and the last. I am he who liveth. I am he who was slain. I am your advocate with the Father. Again, complementary contrasts. First and last, living and slain. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the author and finisher of our faith. Following the appearance of Jesus Christ, Moses, Elias, and Elijah also came. By divine direction, these great prophets of old restored priesthood keys and authority. Thus, the keys of this dispensation are committed within his restored church to bless all God's children. Significantly, the Book of Mormon describes the power and resurrection of Christ, the essence of Easter, in terms of two restorations. First, resurrection includes physical restoration of our proper and perfect frame, every limb and joint. Even a hair of the head shall not be lost. This promise gives hope to those who have lost limbs, those who have lost ability to see, hear, or walk, or those thought lost to relentless disease, mental illness, or other diminished capacity. He finds us. He makes us whole. A second promise of Easter and our Lord's atonement is that, spiritually, all things shall be restored to their proper order. This spiritual restoration reflects our works and desires. It restores that which is good, righteous, just, and merciful. No wonder the prophet Alma uses the word restore 22 times as he urges us to deal justly, judge righteously, and do good continually. Because God himself atoneth for the sins of the world, the Lord's atonement can make whole not only what was, but also what can be. Because he knows our pains, afflictions, sicknesses, our temptations of every kind, he can, with mercy, succor us according to our infirmities. Because God is a perfect, just God, and a merciful God also, the plan of mercy can appease the demands of justice. We repent and do all we can. He encircles us eternally in the arms of his love. Singing songs of everlasting joy. With you, at this Easter season, I testify of God, our eternal Father, and his beloved Son, the living Jesus Christ. Mortal men were cruelly crucified and later resurrected, but only the living Jesus Christ in his perfect resurrected form still bears the marks of crucifixion in his hands, feet, and side. Only he can say, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Only he can say, I am he who was lifted up. I am Jesus that was crucified. I am the Son of God. In these times, we can learn much of God's goodness and our divine potential for God's love to grow in us as we seek him and reach out to each other. And it shall come to pass that the righteous shall be gathered out from among all nations, and shall come to Zion, singing with songs of everlasting joy. At this season of Hosanna and Hallelujah, sing Hallelujah, for he shall reign forever and ever. Shout Hosanna to God and the Lamb. From an April 2020 General Conference Address. End of the article, The Heart of Easter, The Living Jesus Christ, by Elder Garrett W. Gong of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, read by Van Farnworth.
Like a Window to Your Soul by Richard M. Romney, Church Magazines. When they sang with their ward choir at an interfaith festival, these teens learned a lot about how music can bring all believers together. Megan C., Ethan M., and Romy C. have something in common. They love reverent music. They love the way it lifts and inspires them, the way it makes them feel. And they love to see how it lifts and inspires others. Megan, 18, Ethan, 19, and Romy, 17, also has something else in common. They all sing in their ward choir in Florida, USA, and recently the choir gave them an even greater opportunity to share their love for music by participating in an interfaith music festival. Our community has an interfaith coalition that does a lot to bring people of different faiths together, Ethan explains. For example, the group hosted a discussion around an iftar dinner, the evening meal when Muslims end their daily fast during their holy month of Ramadan, organized a number of service projects, such as preparing school backpacks for children in need, and held several potluck dinners, where people who didn't know each other sat side by side at the same table and talked about foods, customs, and beliefs enjoyed in their cultures. Let's be friends. The coalition's goal is, of course, to help people from different backgrounds to become friends. There's a Turkish family that I always see at the interfaith dinners, and they run up to me and say, "We're so happy to see you again." Romy says, "In a world where there's so much persecution of religion and faith, it's nice that we can all come together and just talk to each other." During one of the service projects, the ladies at another church were so sweet, she says. They didn't care about anyone's religion. They were just there to offer their help. It was refreshing. "We may believe different things," Megan says, "but I've always respected other people's beliefs, and it's been nice to connect with them in this setting where we all want to learn about each other." "Our church is one of the newer members of the coalition," Ethan says, "so I was very appreciative of just how kind they were to us and how accepting they were. I know that in some places, people misunderstand the church, so I'm always appreciative when people are able to accept each other's differences and look for what we have in common." Of one accord. And one of the things all the faith groups have in common is music. The Interfaith Music Festival would be a great opportunity for believers to unite in praising God. The ward choir would be one of about half a dozen groups representing congregations throughout the city. There was a bell choir, a vocal duet, a large choir, a small choir, a flute and piano duet, and so forth, Megan explains. Every group was asked to do two numbers. Megan continues, "We wanted to make sure that what we sang would let people know that we believe in Jesus Christ and also that we believe in Heavenly Father. We wanted to create a feeling of worship." The choir decided on two numbers they had previously performed, "Great Things and Small Things" by Stephen Cap Perry and "Sacraments and Symbols" by Janice Cap Perry, Stephen Cap Perry, and Lynn Perry Christofferson. The first song is upbeat. It offers the assurance that through God you can do anything, whether it's relatively minor or very significant, Ethan says. The second song has a deep reverence. It's almost like a chant, and it creates a real feeling of worship. Practice, practice, practice. As they prepared to sing, Ethan used a method he had used before. "I try to prioritize becoming immersed in the song," he says. "I find that when I'm able to pay attention to the meaning of the song, I'm able to enjoy it better. Of course, I make sure I can sing it properly, but I find that it's easier for me to do that when I'm in tune with the message that it's trying to convey. I like to put an emphasis on spiritual preparation." "We still had to sing in sacrament meeting and practice for other things too," Megan says. "But we know the importance of the interfaith event, so we made sure the pieces were ready. We worked hard on them." For the second number, the 14-member choir shrunk down to a double quartet. "We would rehearse on Tuesdays before young men and young women," Megan says. "It made me think of the song for a whole week, for a whole month, really. I don't usually do this, but I found the song on YouTube and kept playing it over and over. I wanted to improve. I wanted us to sing so well that we would touch other people. Ethan, Megan, and Romy agree that all the rehearsing had an added benefit. When you repeat songs over and over, Romy says, the messages of the songs stay in your mind and in your heart. In the mind, in the heart. That presence in their minds and hearts was clearly evident as the choir members sang. Both songs were just beautiful, Romy says. The audience got real quiet, and everyone felt the spirit as those songs were being sung. We all felt united. The first song has always been a happy song for me, Megan says. I feel like it had that impact on the people at the festival. I had a fun time singing it, and I hope they all enjoyed it as well. And the second song, the voices blended so well. I think everyone who listened to it felt a spirit of respect and awe for God. At the end of the evening, Megan continues, we were able to talk with participants and audience members. I know people were asking our choir director about the songs we sang. What kind of music was that? Or where did you find that arrangement? We were able to interact with each other and talk about the music we all shared. I felt like I was able to understand them more through their songs, and that they understood us better because of ours. Music is like a window to your soul. What music means to me? Megan, there's a reason we have hymns, and there's a reason we have music in general. I think it's because the Lord wants us to feel peace with Him. One of the main times I'm able to feel the Spirit is when I think about the sacrament hymn. It helps us to remember the Savior and all He has done for us. Ethan, music is about carrying the emotion behind a message. There's a difference between saying, God can help me through trials, which is good and true, and singing a hymn with that same message. It asks a little bit more of you as the singer. It helps you to really understand that message and connect with it on a deeper level. Music serves to amplify whatever you want to say to whoever's listening. Romy, when I'm listening to sacred music, I feel closer to Jesus Christ. I know that Jesus Christ has put music on this earth so that we can rejoice and bring others unto Him. When I need to feel the Holy Ghost, I sing a hymn in my heart and mind. It's one of my favorite ways to rejoice. End of the article, Like a Window to Your Soul. Read by Wes Nelson.
Making the First Hymn Book. Words by Emily Joy Powell. Art by Mike Grover. Church members in the 1830s loved sacred hymns. Through the prophet Joseph Smith, the Lord gave a revelation to M. Smith on how she could help.
Make a selection of sacred hymns.
Emma worked with other members to collect and write hymns. By early 1836, the first hymn book was available. For my soul delighteth in the song of the heart. Doctrine and Covenants 25:12. End of Making the First Hymn Book. Read by Jeff Hawkins and Enzo Patello.
Come Follow Me. Preparing to Always Have His Spirit by Elder Paul B. Piper of the 70. When I was 12 years old, I went with my family to visit the church history sites in upstate New York, USA. In the Sacred Grove, I remember pondering about the first vision and the other amazing visions Joseph saw and thinking, wow, if I would have an amazing spiritual encounter with heavenly beings like Joseph did, my life would be set. I have since learned that rather than a big spiritual encounter once in my life, I need little experiences often to keep me strong in my testimony and safely on the path back home. Heavenly Father knew that we would need regular guidance in our lives, and He prepared the way for us to receive it. For all those who have enough faith in His Son to repent and be baptized, He gives the gift of the Holy Ghost. Through the weekly ordinance of the sacrament, He provides us the possibility to always have His Spirit to be with us if we remember the Savior and keep His commandments. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 20, verse 77. This makes it possible for us to access the daily guidance of the Spirit in our lives as we use our agency to make decisions that will help us along the path back to Heavenly Father. The Sacrament and the Spirit. Heavenly Father knew we would need regular access to the guidance of His Spirit, not just big one-time experiences. Through the prophet Joseph Smith, He restored the ordinance of baptism by immersion, which helps us become clean. We are then prepared to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost by confirmation, giving us the possibility of daily guidance by the Spirit. Heavenly Father knew that becoming clean once would not be enough, and that we would need to remember the Savior and become clean again and again in order to keep the Spirit always with us. He restored the ordinance of the sacrament for that purpose. If we carefully prepare for and regularly partake of the sacrament, we are promised that we may always have His Spirit to be with us. Doctrine and Covenants, section 20, verse 77. However, just showing up to church and eating the bread and drinking the water will not permit us to access the Lord's promise. Our intentional preparation for the ordinance enables us to receive the Savior's power in our lives. Athletes do not become proficient by just putting on a uniform or walking onto the court or the playing field. They must train their bodies, learn the techniques, and practice in order to become proficient in their sport. Similarly, we must learn how to prepare to partake of the sacrament reverently and worthily so that we can receive the power that He can give us. One way to prepare your heart and spirit to partake of the sacrament is to conduct a small interview with yourself each week. I like to use Doctrine and Covenants, section 20, verse 37, to interview myself. This verse contains the requirements for baptism that God revealed to the prophet Joseph. It contains the qualifications that all who want to be baptized must meet. I find that it helps me to prepare myself to receive the renewing promises available through the sacrament. Have I humbled myself before God? The first requirement listed in Doctrine and Covenants, section 20, verse 37, is to humble oneself before God. We do this by accepting and being willing to follow His will, as it is written in the Scriptures, taught by His servants, or as it comes to us in promptings. I ask myself if I am fighting God on anything in my life right now. Am I resisting His direction? Am I attentive to the teachings of His servants? If I am not, I make plans to improve and commit to do better as I prepare to partake of the sacrament. God is all-knowing. When I recognize that He can see the big picture for my life, it's easier to humble myself before Him and trust that He will guide me to what is best. Do I have a broken heart and a contrite spirit? Having a broken heart and a contrite spirit is related to humility. It means being willing to submit to God's will. To be humble means to say we're sorry and to forgive even when it's hard or when we may feel others were in the wrong. Can you say, my heart is right with everyone? Have you hurt anyone around you, or do you have bad feelings about someone? Do you need to ask for forgiveness? When I have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, I am willing to make an effort to make things right with God and those around me. I try to get rid of negative thoughts and feelings towards others. The Spirit doesn't dwell with us when we have contentious feelings, so getting rid of them is an important step in preparing ourselves to receive the promise of the sacrament. Do I desire to become clean again? And can I witness that I have repented of all my sins? Another requirement in Doctrine and Covenants, section 20, verse 37, is to truly repent of all our sins. When we were baptized, we were washed clean of our sins. We made a promise to try to keep God's commandments and repent when we make mistakes. I ask myself, am I just taking the sacrament because I think I should, or do I really want to become clean again? I look back at my sins and errors from that week and ask myself if I truly want to change and get rid of them. As you have the desire to become clean, you'll see by the Spirit things you need to improve and he will continue to prompt you to repent and make better choices. Confession to the Lord and to others we may have harmed or offended, if necessary, is part of our preparation. Ask yourself, is there something I need to change that I haven't yet? Is there something I still need to repent of? Resolving issues through sincere repentance can qualify us to worthily partake of the sacrament. Am I willing to take upon myself the name of Jesus Christ? Each covenant we make signifies a commitment to take Christ's name more fully upon us. When we are baptized, we show our willingness to take upon ourselves the name of Jesus Christ and keep His commandments. When we make additional covenants in the temple or accept callings, we further take upon ourselves Christ's cause and His teachings. Showing our willingness to take upon ourselves His name as part of the sacrament each week means recommitting to all of the covenants and commitments we have previously made with Him. In evaluating my preparation to take the sacrament, I ask myself questions such as, am I doing the best I can to be an example of Christ and His teachings? Am I keeping all the promises I made associated with my covenants? Am I as committed today to Christ and my covenants with Him as I was on the day I first made them? Do I have a determination to serve Him to the end? We promised the Lord when we made our baptismal covenants that we would strive to keep His commandments. The two greatest commandments are to love the Lord and to love your neighbor. See Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40. We demonstrate our love to both God and our fellow men by serving them. I ask myself, do I make time to serve? Am I reluctant to serve? Or am I happy to serve? Am I trying to magnify my calling? Serving others is a wonderful way to prepare to partake of the sacrament. In fact, it is most often in serving others that we need the guidance of the Spirit. Trust in the Lord's promises. As we intentionally prepare each week to worthily take the sacrament, we will qualify to always have the Spirit to influence and guide our lives. That's a promise from the Lord. End of the article, Preparing to Always Have His Spirit, by Elder Paul P. Piper of the 70. Read by David Shaw.
Firm Foundations, A Wall to Climb. 20 young women stood next to me staring at a wooden 16-foot wall. Our challenge was to help every girl get over the top. For many of the girls, this was their first year at Young Women Camp. The older girls and I were youth leaders, but we had never participated in an activity like this. We all listened to the rules with anticipation. Each young woman had to make it over the wall. Once someone made it, she could stand on a platform and help pull others up. However, if she touched the ground, she was no longer allowed to help lift the remaining girls. We struggled at first, but soon we managed to work together and start lifting girls over. Some were afraid to be lifted so high despite the safety protections. Others were nervous using their own strength to reach the top. It required us all to increase our trust and support for each other. In the end, we successfully finished the challenge. As the final young woman climbed down, we gathered to discuss the many lessons from the wall activity. We all face things that seem impossible to overcome. However, we are not alone. People are all around us to help lift and provide support. Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ are there to give help and strength when we turn to them. Megan B., Ohio, USA. As covenant-keeping women and men, we need to lift each other and help each other become the people the Lord would have us become. Sister Linda K. Burton, former Relief Society General President, April 2015 General Conference in Zinor, Liahona, May 2015, page 29.
I promised I would come. I have always wanted to share the gospel with others, but for many years I wasn't successful, until I became friends with a boy named Tiago. We lived close to each other, so we walked home together after school each day. One day, we took a different route home and passed by the chapel where I went to church. I told him that I had been a member of the church for a long time. I told him what we believed and how much my family had been blessed by it. I invited Tiago to church that Sunday, and he said he would come. Sunday arrived, and I anxiously waited for him at church, but he didn't come. Later that week, I invited him again. This happened for 2 or 3 months, but he always had an excuse to not come. But I didn't stop inviting him. One Sunday morning, I was in sacrament meeting and looked over to see Tiago standing there. I was surprised to see him, but he came and sat down by me and said, "I promised I would come." I introduced him to the missionaries, and they started teaching him. Later, he got baptized. Now we're both preparing to go on missions. I'm so glad I didn't give up on him. Mary R., Brazil.
Trust in God's timing. My aunt went through a divorce when only her eldest son had been baptized. To maintain a peaceful relationship with her children's biological father, she wanted to get his permission for their other children to be baptized. Unfortunately, he wouldn't give permission for many years. My aunt finally decided that she wanted to have the children baptized despite their dad's not approving. But after my aunt and cousins fasted and prayed about the decision, everyone received the impression that they should continue to wait. That same week, my cousin's biological father told my aunt that he wanted the children to meet with the missionaries and be baptized. I still remember the joy I felt when my mom told me the news. I knew that Heavenly Father had blessed my cousins after many years of patiently waiting. We may not always know when the Lord will answer our prayers, but I know that He always will. I don't know why Heavenly Father wanted my cousins to wait to be baptized, but I do know that He blessed them because of their faithfulness. Bree J., Florida, USA.
End of Firm Foundations, read by Kennedy Hawkins and Chloe and Margot Patello.
Last Word. Continuing Revelation by Elder Quentin L. Cook of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. From an April 2020 General Conference Address. The Prophet Joseph Smith received revelation after revelation. Many revelations received by the Prophet Joseph have been preserved for us in the Doctrine and Covenants. In addition, we are blessed with continuing revelation to living prophets who are commissioned agents of the Lord, authorized to speak for Him. Commissioned means chosen, assigned, and given authority. Personal revelation is also available to all those who humbly seek guidance from the Lord. It is as important as prophetic revelation. Personal revelation is based on spiritual truths received from the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the revealer and testifier of all truth, especially that of the Savior. Revealer and testifier means someone who helps you know and understand truth. Without the Holy Ghost, we could not really know that Jesus is the Christ. His seminal role, which means influencing things that come later, is to bear witness of the Father and the Son and their titles and their glory. I assure you that revelatory guidance can be received by each of us as we humbly labor in the Lord's vineyard. My humble plea is that each of us will seek continuing revelation to guide our lives and follow the Spirit as we worship God the Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ. How do you receive revelation? End of the article, Continuing Revelation, by Elder Quentin L. Cook of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Read by Van Farnworth.
Emma Smith, born 1804, died 1879, worked as a school teacher, first president of the Relief Society, compiled the church's first hymn book. Even as a young child, Emma always felt a deep sense of devotion to God. She was dedicated to serving others and was called an elect lady by the Lord. Doctrine and Covenants, section 25, verse 3.